Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Creator, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our friend. Amen. The Lord of the Rings. This is at least familiar to you, right? It's a big fantasy novel, wonderful book that at least in Britain and in America people are familiar with. It's a fantasy novel. J.R.R. Tolkien's towering masterpiece about the nature of absolute power and the power of good to resist it. It's set in a mythic Middle Earth populated by elves and hobbits and humans as well as orcs and the Dark Lord. And in Volume 1, Chapter 2, we meet the hobbit Frodo. And Frodo is visited in his home in the Shire, where the hobbits live, by the great and wise wizard Gandalf. And Gandalf's visit is welcome. His presence and visit is welcome, but the news that he brings is not. There is a dark and terrible power rising in the east, in Mordor, and it seeks absolute power over Middle Earth. But to achieve this, it must possess the ring of power. The ring, forged by elves in the ancient past, is missing. It has traveled a circuitous route and strangely ended up in the possession of a hobbit who knows nothing of its power, and that hobbit is Frodo. But now the Dark Lord, Sauron, has a sense of where the ring is, can kind of feel it, and is coming to find it. And Frodo, with Gandalf's help, must leave his home and risk his life to travel to the Fire Mountain and cast that ring into the cracks of doom. Only the fire in this mountain, in these cracks, is strong enough to destroy the ring and save Middle Earth. Now, Frodo is an ordinary hobbit. And now, after decades of quiet, evil is rising, and the task has been laid on him to save not only the Shire, his little home, but the entire Middle Earth. And when Frodo understands this, he says to Gandalf, the wizard, "I wish it need not have happened in my time. I wish it need not have happened in my time." And Gandalf responds, "So do I. And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us." Possibly the greatest passage in The Lord of the Rings. Yesterday was the semi-quincentennial, or the 250th anniversary of the United States. That means 250 years ago, on July 4th, 1776, patriots signed the Declaration of Independence, declaring themselves free from a despotic king across the Atlantic and also from the king's taxes. As we observe this 250th anniversary of the country we love, for some a home, for others a goal, this nation that stands for freedom and equality, opportunity, human rights, and at the same time, this nation that was built on the genocide of the Native Americans and the labor and blood of enslaved Africans. And in so many ways, our country has not asked for forgiveness for or been healed of these original sins. How do we think about this celebration, this observation, this quincentennial, semi-quincentennial? It is a celebration of all that is good about our country, and it is also a warning that what was dearly fought for and achieved can also be lost. So I'm going to share with you an excerpt from a speech given by Senator John Ossoff of Georgia, and this is from a rally about a week ago. He said, "Just think, 250 years on, what the founders would see if they visited us today." And when he said that, the crowd was with him, started to groan. Arr. But Ossoff held up his hand and said, wait. "They would see that slavery has been abolished. They would see that Americans without land and then women and then the descendants of slaves had secured voting rights." And at this, the crowd started to say, yeah, cheer with him. And he continued, "They would see that our science and discovery had propelled human knowledge to unimaginable heights, and that those 13 colonies had grown into a superpower that defeated the Nazis and the communists. They'd see a pluralist democracy. People of all colors descended from every point on earth, stitched together out of many nations into one." And then Ossoff went on to say that if the founders could see us today, they'd also see the danger that we are in. The danger of falling under the kind of absolute power that they risk their lives to overthrow. It was a good speech. He's a great speaker. That does seem to describe this moment, the danger we face and all that is worth fighting for. Both are true, though we wish it had not happened in our time. I chose these two narratives, one from a great work of fiction and the other a contemporary speech, because each of them, in the face of danger, are profoundly realistic and profoundly hopeful. And that is what we need right now. Realism, no hiding, heads in the sand. Realism, and also and especially hope. The realism in Lord of the Rings is that evil is indeed real and that everything can be lost. That's the realism. The hope in the Lord of the Rings is that there is somehow, somewhere, an ancient and high power that will assist those willing to fight against evil. The power. In Ossoff's speech, he reminds his audience of what America has achieved, of the good this nation has done, and the hope he offers is that we can do it again. The testimony of our past will be the testimony of our future if we are faithful. The testimony of our past will be the testimony of our future if we are faithful. In St. Paul's monumental letter to the Romans, the letter upon which the Reformation stands, upon which our Lutheran heritage is based, St. Paul writes about the reality of human nature. He describes the complexity of being both God's good creation and also, at the same time, fallen and limited creatures. And he writes in verse 15, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate." And then he continues, "For the desire to do the good lies close at hand, but not the ability." The desire is there, but not the ability. And we know what is good. Paul is saying we know what we should do, but we can't. Is there hope for us? Reality, we know what to do, we can't. Hope, is there hope? Yes, there is. Paul laments in verse 24, "Wretched person that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" And then he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." I feel like I need an amen there. The freedom, the ability to do the good, Paul says, comes from Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul's testimony is of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to him, to Paul in the past, who will rescue him again and set him free. J.R.R. Tolkien was a Christian, and the themes of Christian faith run throughout The Lord of the Rings. And one of them is that good cannot be forced. good cannot be forced. When Gandalf comes to Frodo to tell him that, for a reason neither of them understand or know, Frodo has been chosen to destroy the ring. Gandalf is asking. He's not telling. Frodo could have refused, and Gandalf would have moved on. And underneath this fierce commitment to gentleness and to choice is the reality that evil can only be stopped and the good society created by the opposite of evil. Not enslavement, but freedom. Not force, but gentleness. Not revenge, but forgiveness. Not cruelty, but kindness, the good. The hopefulness of this message is the hopefulness of Jesus' very resurrection. Death will not triumph. Life will triumph. The arc of the moral universe is long. It is very, 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 very long. But it bends toward the good. I've paraphrased. It bends towards the good. And now I want to share one more story. It's not about the semi-quincentennial. It's about a man and a woman and the testimony of their lives. There is not time right now to tell the story of South Africa and its colonization beginning in 1652 by the Dutch and then the British, the wars to subdue the native South Africans, the struggle within modern South Africa to bring down apartheid, the leadership of people like Nelson Mandela and Bishop Desmond Tutu, the murders of people like Stephen Biko in prison, and so many others. One of the people imprisoned was Reverend Dr. Chenu Ferrisani, a Lutheran pastor from the Raimondo Parish and dean of the local churches. He was released from prison in 1990 and sent into exile, and he and his wife, Mudzunga, came to the United States to Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, and they found a spiritual home here at Peace Lutheran. And while he was here, he and Pastor Steve Harms, now retired, began the partnership program with the Raimondo Parish. The Ferrisanis then returned to South Africa when apartheid ended in 1994, and recently Dr. Ferrisani died. Yet it was the resistance and the risk-taking of people like Dr. and Mrs. Ferrisani that put South Africa on its long, long road, slowly and with setbacks, path to overcoming apartheid and creating equality for all its people and a new South Africa. On the anniversary of Dr. Ferrisani's death this year, Carl Pfeiffer, here among us, Carl Pfeiffer wrote to his widow, wrote to Mudzunga expressing his thoughts and his love and condolences, and I'm going to read you part of her response, Mudzunga Ferrisani's response to Carl. For me, this partnership, this is what we are celebrating today, this partnership remains a sermon without a pulpit. A sermon without a pulpit. It proclaims more powerfully than words alone ever could that black and white people are equally children of God, beautifully painted in different colors by the same creator. In a world often divided by fear and prejudice, this partnership stands as a living testimony to reconciliation, mutual respect, and Christian love. It is my prayer, she continues, that this relationship will continue to flourish from generation to generation, bearing fruit long after we are gone. We also remember with gratitude the significant roles played by Steve and Tshishenu in nurturing and strengthening this bond. Their labor was not in vain. The seeds they planted continue to grow and bless many lives. May God continue to bless you abundantly and strengthen the partnership that has become a beacon of hope and unity for so many. Amen. I have no words beyond that. May the testimony of God's faithfulness and gentleness in the past Give us strength to resist evil and do what is right. And may God's new life be our hope for the future and lead us all into the good. Amen.